Sanskrit, but when with regard to bhavana, the way of practice, the citta most of the time likes to, he gets a similar reading and writing, so most of the time the citta likes to write things, likes to be active, thinking about things. It doesn't like to read and absorb things. It likes to be active doing things externally. In other words, it likes to be doing things from itself, rather than absorbing things from outside. This means to say it likes to be thinking, it likes to be making things up, creating things, imagining things and so on. Now the way of bhavana, the way of practice, meditation practice, is the way to quell this system, to quell this constant creative activity in the system. It's creating imagination and thoughts and so on. When we practice meditation, we have to have tools to do it. The tools are the things we use in the practice. And Sanatana said that it's much like somebody who uses tools in ordinary life. He said they have to have the tools to do the job, whether they have to have the materials to work upon. Materials in this case, it's like wood and so on. They said the materials like this body. We have to work with this body. This is material we have to work with. We can't get another one. And so we've got to work on this. And of course the mind as well. Now, when one works on this, one has to try and fashion it into the right shape so that it will be of value, like the workman shapes the wood so that it can be used to make a house or whatever it is. And in doing this, we have to use the meditation practice, or the method of practice generally, to adapt the body and change it in the mind and change it so that we can fit it to the meditation practice, to what we're trying to attain. If one doesn't have tools of meditation to train oneself and to control this citta, the citta left on its own will tend to deteriorate automatically. This is the way of the citta which is without training. It will always tend to deteriorate, and the things that it shouldn't do, the constant thinking and creative activity, will tend to increase, going in the wrong direction. With regard to a piece of wood, we can see the value of it. It's pretty obvious. It can be used to make a house or something like that, or a chair, table, or anything like that. With the body of a human being, on the other hand, it's not of much use externally to medicine or like that. And you can't sort of change shape or make it into anything else externally. So the value of the human being, the value of the human being's body and mind, is shown in their behavior. In other words, the body and mind, when it's trained, it displays itself in behavior. But if one does not have an inner principle, Dhamma, the behavior will not be right. It will go the wrong way. So one's got to have some inner principle, one's got to have the Dhamma within one, so that it can come out in behavior. The principle, the thing that one uses in this case, is such things as the meditation practice on Buddha, repeating Buddha in one heart. This holds the thought in one, and it doesn't let the thoughts increase, and it doesn't let the creative imagination of the mind get out of bounds. it holds it down. And one's behavior will sense it spring from the statement. This gives an internal object. This is an internal object which one can fix upon, and if one uses this continually, the thought star way, the chitta goes into a state of calm, becomes absorbed in this, so you develop the state of calm, and this leads to the state of happiness as well. Also, with the Buddha practice, if one is using this, one thinks of the Buddha, and one has realized that the Buddha was a teacher, that he it was he who first of all found the way. He found the way of making one's heart cool and calm, and he brought the way to the arahants, who followed him, his followers. They in turn brought the way right the way up to a certain day. And we can see how, because of this, what we're trying to do is something that stems from the Buddha, right back and forth. And we can feel that we are following the Buddha. Mm-hmm. By the practice of meditation, one can, by continuing to do it for a long time and by gaining success in it, one can stop the thought, and one, sort of creative imagination going on all the time, this can be stopped entirely. If this is stopped entirely, one will then experience a state of great calm. This state of calm, if one experiences it once, one will know the nature of this experience, and one will never forget it. However long one lives. It can be something that one can, if one never attains anything more, one can always look back on it and know that one attained that state of calm, and it will give one a taste of what can come from the meditation, so that one can use that as a yardstick to know the value of the meditation practice. You're going to measure it, so to speak. And one knows from that what value can come from meditation. And after that, one will probably find that one's interest in the meditation grows. And one can go on from there more easily. The way of practice, however, cannot be attained just by reading from the book. Reading from the books is not the way to do it. One has actually got to get down and do the practice. If one learns the theory from the book, one can go on learning that endlessly, but in the end one doesn't get to the results for sure. If, however, one goes the way of trying to develop the practice within oneself by doing the meditation, one will receive results, and one will know the nature of those results. And one will see that these results are the results as the Buddha taught. And to this extent, one can use one's reading to just check the results and to know the rightness of what one is doing. At the time of the Buddha, the followers of the Buddha did a lot of practice, very little of learning. Because they did much practice, they gained results. They gained the results from the practice. But nowadays, people are not like that. Very few do much practice. Because of that, the results are not what they should be. On the other hand, if one wants to learn the true Dhamma, one must gain it from the practice. You cannot get it from the book. Sarachandran asked you to forgive him for explaining the next bit, but he said that he would like to use some of his own experience in regard to it to illustrate it. He said when he was young, he learned Pali language. And he said that when he learned, he did his exams in due course, and when he gained the first stage, first level of Pali, he said that this built up conceit in him, and he felt very proud of having really changed. Then he went on, and he got to the second level, and he felt proud of still. Then he got to the third level, and so on, and he felt proud of still, like this. But none of this, in fact, helped him to go the way of meditation practice, to go the way of knowing, knowing what was in his picture. When he said that when he took up interest in the meditation practice, and he went the way of meditation practice and learned it, as he developed and as he practiced the way of meditation, it was as though the sort of conceit he had about the Pali gradually slipped and went lower and lower, until finally he said he got to a state where it was as though he'd never learned the Pali. He felt that what he'd learned was really just didn't matter at all.